welcome to All About Books on NET Radio. I'm your host, Pat Leach, Director of Lincoln City Libraries. Today, I'm delighted to welcome a guest author to the program, Kate DiCamillo. She has the distinction of twice winning the prestigious Newbery Medal for the Best Children's Book of the Year for her books, Flora and Ulysses, The Illuminated Adventures, and The Tale of Despero, being the story of a mouse, a princess, some soup, and a spool of thread. DiCamillo, who lives in the Twin Cities, will be in Seward, Nebraska, on the Concordia campus on Saturday, December 8th at 2 p.m. to talk about her newest title called Louisiana's Way Home. Kate, you'll be in Nebraska as part of that publicity tour, so why don't you tell us about the book? Who is Louisiana?
Louisiana is one of those characters who you hope for kind of when you're writing, in that she would not leave me alone. So she surprised me when she showed up. And the book that came before this, that was Rainy Nightingale. So Louisiana showed up as a secondary character there. And then I finished that book, and Louisiana haunted me and kind of demanding that I write her story. So it was awfully fun to write this book, but it wasn't my choice exactly. It was more like Louisiana demanded it.
And as the story opens, Louisiana is being awakened by her granny in the middle of the night.
So Louisiana has been raised by her grandmother and believes herself to be the child of a trapeze artist known as the Flying Elefantes. And she thinks that her parents perished at sea. And through the course of this novel, from the moment that granny wakes her up, and as things hurtle forward from there, she finds out that she is not who she thought she was at all.
And I think in doing that, what intrigued me about the book is the way that her view of Granny changes in the course of the book in certain ways. And she also encounters people along the way who help her. Even when they don't intend to help her, they often are doing so.
Right, and also that's one of the things that I love about Louisiana is her willingness to be open to other people and to accept help from other people. And so much of this book is, there's a wonderful character named Reverend Obertask, I just love him, who talks to Louisiana about how we all have to decide who we are in this world, and she might be called upon to do that a little bit sooner than most people, but she's capable of doing it. I love it when he says that to her, and that's so much, for me, what the book is about, that thing of deciding who you are and that you can decide who you are. And she does, with the help of many people.
One of those people is a boy who has a pet crow, and I'm intrigued by the roles that animals play in your stories. What is it about animals that they end up playing interesting and important roles?
I always struggle to answer this question. I mean, because I don't think I've got a book that doesn't have an animal in it. And the easy answer is I love animals. And then it gets more complicated from that, in that I think that so much of what formed me when I was a kid as a reader, there were animals at the center of Cricket in Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart Little, Mouse and the Motorcycle. I think that's part of it. At Paddington, I'm very comfortable with those animal protagonists. And I don't do this consciously, but I do think that as readers, we're sometimes a little bit more likely to let down our guard when it's for an animal character than we are for a human. We open our heart a little bit more quickly.
Yeah, and especially in the examples that you provided, I see that at work, certainly. Our listeners will be interested to know that a small Nebraska town plays a role in this book, the fictional town of Elf Ear, Nebraska. Why Nebraska?
This is one of those, it's funny because I haven't really talked about this much at all. I did an interview last week where it came up because I was talking about my notebook and how I always have a notebook with me, and I write down things that I hear and things that I see, but also just phrases that go through my head. So this is maybe like 6 years ago, the words elf ear Nebraska went through my head. I don't know where they came from. I wrote them down in the notebook. And when I finish one notebook, I transfer all of the kind of like sparky words that I think might become a story into the next one. So for a long time, I just wrote down elf ear Nebraska, elf ear Nebraska. And then it showed up here as where something very dramatic. We don't go to Nebraska in the book, but something very dramatic happened in elf ear Nebraska. I've never been to Nebraska, so I'm like looking forward to going where Granny was.
Well, absolutely. Now, I will admit that I did a couple of Google searches for elf ear, just making sure that there wasn't a slice of Nebraska history of which I was unaware in terms of there being such a town, but it is fictional.
You know what's funny is maybe the proofreaders did it, but I didn't do it, and typically I do. I just was so certain that I had made it up, which I should never rely on. I remember when I wrote Death Row, Google had just kind of come into existence. I woke up in the middle of the night and thought, where in the world did I get that name from? And so I Googled the word Death Row, and it was zero matches. So,
Your own, all your own. Well, as I mentioned, I'm a former children's librarian, and after I read Louisiana's Way Home in just a few hours one evening, I will own up to being reminded of how much I love and respect how a fairly short book can fulfill all the requirements of good fiction. And I haven't been reading so much children's literature recently, but this book reminded me that I need to get back to that. Who were the writers you admire?
Oh, wow. The list is so long. I mean, I always think of myself, it's funny, I'm thrilled to be a writer, but when I think of myself, the first thing I think of is that I'm a reader. You know, there were all those books that I read as a kid, most of which I've come back to trying to figure out how they worked, magic. But there were also, I worked here in Minneapolis when I arrived here in a book warehouse, and I was on the third floor, and that's where all the children's books were. So I started to read books for kids that had been published since I was a kid. Two really, really pivotal ones for me were The Watsons Go to Birmingham, 1963, by Christopher Paul Curtis, mm-hmm. who I'm still a huge fan of, and also Katherine Patterson, Bridge to Terabithia. Both of those, Bridge to Terabithia and The Watsons Go to Birmingham, just they made me want to be able to write a book for kids like that. Humane, warm books that deal with huge, huge things. E.B. White. It's funny because I read Stuart Little when I was a kid, but then I read Black Beauty. And from that point on, I wouldn't read any book that had an animal on the cover because I was so traumatized by what had happened to that horse.
Oh, wow.
And so I never read Charlotte's Web until I was an adult and told that I had to read it. And that book I reread every year now, trying to figure out how E.B. White worked.
How E.B. White made Charlotte's Web work so well.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. how E.B. White in general, I mean, Charlotte's Web is fantastic, Stuart Little is fantastic, E.B. White's essays are amazing,
yes.
And it's always the thing for me with E.B. White that he's using the same words that the rest of us have access to, but he does something different. It's like he puts more of his heart on each word. So I'm always trying to figure out how he does that.
How has being an author yourself impacted your reading life overall?
Oh, that's really interesting. Nobody's ever asked it from that angle. What I always wait for in a book is the moment when my writer brain clicks off and my reader brain clicks in, and that's when I know that a book is working. So it's just like then I'm not like thinking, oh, you did this, you did that, but rather I'm lost in the story. And so there is that little bit of me trying to figure something out.
Who do you credit for your love of books and stories?
Oh, my mom.
Ah, mm-hmm.
My mom. My mother, she not only read to me and took me to the library twice a week, But she also bought me books and paid really close attention to me as a reader, and just like not telling me what to do, but just kind of making sure that I always had books that I became obsessed with Abraham Lincoln when I was in second grade, and there were only a few biographies that were at my reading level, and my mother, and this was before the internet, we were in a small town, she had to go in special order, but she found me books on Lincoln that I could read, and so she was miraculous in that respect. I wouldn't be talking to you without her.
Wow, that is quite an influence. Of course, I love the library part, but the aspect of her combining both what you get from a public library in terms of access to so many titles, but also that you build your own home library based on the things that you want to have forever.
Yeah, and you know, we had a great library, a public library in the town that I grew up in, and I was given carte blanche there. You know, the 4-book maximum was waived for me because the librarian there saw me as a true reader, you know, and so she just let me have at it. And so the libraries have been so central to my life.
Well, I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely delighted to hear that.
I'm just grateful for everybody who picks up the book, but picks up any book, and particularly grateful for those people who read with somebody else. So I'm a big fan of reading aloud.
What I would only add to that is the act of reading aloud is really reading in community, and then the conversations that follow when that happen are really difficult to quantify and impossible to value highly enough.
Oh, you are singing my song. I can't describe it. The closest I've gotten is there's some kind of subterranean magic that happens. It's just like tree roots where, you know, we know now that they like eat underground, and that's kind of like what happens with us when somebody reads a story. Yeah. Fabulous.
Kate DiCamillo has been my guest today on All About Books. Kate, thank you so much for joining me today.
It was a great deal of fun. Thank you.
Her new book is Louisiana's Way Home, a book for young people, published by Candlewick. You've been listening to All About Books on NET Radio. Podcasts of this and other programs are available online when you visit netnebraska.org/radio. For All About Books, I'm Pat Leach.